Good morning. Let's pray. Father, thank you in Jesus' name that we can call you Father, that we can come before you, Lord, that we can stand in your presence, that we can love you and know we're accepted by you, that we can have time. Lord, you've placed us in a country, in a situation where we have time and freedom to come before you and be with each other, think about your word. We pray you would bless it, that it would be profitable. I pray that you would fill me with your spirit, that it would be you speaking, Lord, through me, that it would be accurate, that it would be helpful, that it would be what you want. Bless our time, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So how many of you have an inkling or think you might know what we're going to be talking about today? I have before me. Now, first of all, I want to say that the extra week did not help, just in case you're... The extra week was of no help whatsoever. The extra week made it worse, in fact, because, well, it was sort of ready last week. Not ready like I wanted to be. So I took everything and threw it into a folder with paper clips on it, which I'm taking off here, and thought, well, that's a great start. And that's where it was yesterday when I took it out of the folder with the paper clips on it. In other words, the sermon fairies did not show up and do their job. So I have three object lessons today, one of which is obvious, and the other which, other two of which are not. Are we on? Recently, I was very encouraged by a brother in the Lord. Got the date changed and everything. I was encouraged out of my gourd by a brother who told me these words. And it's quite a moving thing. I want to talk about stand firm today. So of the three object lessons, one of them is me because I'm standing here. And I'm using this thing here, which is called a stand. And the other one we'll use perhaps later. Standing, one of the positions of the human body. Something that we do every day. We're told to stand tall. We stand up. In the military, they're told to stand down. Sometimes we're told to stand aside or to stand back. We can take a stand, we can make a stand. Someone could be standoffish. Stand aloof, stand your ground, stand trial, stand alone. I used to have that record by the Letterman, I'm ashamed to say. Stand by your man. Tammy Wynette, I think it was, saying that. Was that right? Tammy Wynette, one of those, which I won't quote any further. Stand fast, stand up too, stand by me, which is... Also, won't be quoted anymore, that particular artist. To stand trial, a raised platform for something. You stand in for someone. It stands to reason, does it not, that such a common thing as this would be used in a lot of different ways. Just such a common thing as being on our feet is something that's used in the Bible over 500 times. We won't go through them all in detail. I don't stand a chance of getting them all done. I don't have time to get to outstanding, understanding, notwithstanding, or misunderstanding, of long standing or in good standing. But we need to try to understand this important concept, because the day is coming when we're going to need it to stand firm. We're going to need that. The tabernacle in the Old Testament had stands. Lamps have stands. Deer hunters have stands. Beehives have stands. Even Custer, General Custer, had one. He had a last stand. So what are we talking about when we talk about stand? It's like a big family. There's all these connections, all these different phrases that use this word. It reminds me of like one of those big Arkansas families with all sorts of relations, some of which you want to claim and some of which you don't. It's used in a lot of different ways. It's a big family. We're blessed to have big families here, and I remember actually a big family that used to attend here that caused a lot of trouble. And they're not here anymore. Kind of makes me feel sort of ornery. Maybe I get in trouble, but I think I'm going to say what their name is. We're not talking about the Stand family here. We're talking about the Tates. There was old man Dick Tate. He wanted to run everything. Uncle Rotate tried to change everything we did. Sister Agitate was just about stirring up trouble. Irritate was a real bother. Then there was Hesitate and his wife Vegetate, who really weren't much use at all. They wanted to wait with everything. They weren't all bad relatives, though, because there was also Brother Facilitate, and he was good with groups. And there was Cogitate and Meditate, who they helped us to think things over and give a steady hand. Seriously, we're talking about standing in some of the many ways it's used in the Bible. And in the Bible, as in the rest of life, standing is usually not an accident. Standing is something you do purposefully. You do a stand, you take a stand, you stand up, meaning that you're getting ready for something. It speaks of endurance. It speaks of a lot of other things that we're going to look at. It's an emotional thing, the word stand. And we're going to need this. And perhaps this is a message or pieces of which you can remember. I want you to stand firm. And we need you to stand firm in the Lord Jesus. Judgment is coming on this country. And we need you to stand firm. Standing implies permanence. It implies permanency. Isaiah 40, verse 8. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Proverbs 19:21. Many plans are in a man's heart, but the counsel of the Lord will stand. This is inanimate thing. Psalm 119, verse 90, your faithfulness continues through all generations. You established the earth, and it stands. The wicked are overthrown, Proverbs 12, verse 7, and are no more, but the house of the righteous will stand. 2 Timothy 2:19, the firm foundation of God stands, having this seal, the Lord knows those who are His. Everyone who names the name of the Lord is to abstain from wickedness. The Lord Jesus said of Satan that if Satan is fighting against himself, his kingdom would not stand. It wouldn't endure. So we're talking about endurance. To stand, and to stand firm means to endure. The situation that I was in when I heard those words, stand firm, was when I was struggling. I have a brother in the Lord Jesus Christ who I took into my confidence about a particular issue that I have difficulties with at times. And I was recounting to him how it was going, which wasn't very well. And he told me, he said, "Stand firm." Man, did I need that. I needed that. And we all need to hear that. So that's why this is called Stand Firm. It's not just standing, it is stand firm. And it talks about, perhaps primarily, permanency. Perhaps something that we don't associate with standing or to stand, and I don't have time to get into our standing before the Lord and all these things that I would like to get into. But it implies service, to stand. It implies humility, to stand. Proverbs 22, verse 29. Do you see a man skilled in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men, but he's going to stand. Because why? Because he's the one doing the work. He's the one who is serving. And the servant stands. The master sits. The servant stands. I stand before you. Not in a position of prominence, but in a position of service. You're receiving. You're sitting. In Luke chapter 17, if you would turn there. Luke 17, starting in verse 7, doesn't even use the word stand. But it says, "Which of you, having a slave plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, 'Come immediately and sit down to eat'? Will he not say to him, 'Prepare something for me to eat and properly clothe yourself and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterward you may eat and drink?' He does not thank the slave because he did the things which were commanded, does he? So you too, when you do all the things which are commanded, you say, 'We are unworthy slaves. We have only done that which we ought to have done.'" To stand implies, and not all the meanings of the word or the implications of the word are in every use of it, of course, but it implies permanence, to stand. In the Civil War, the Confederacy, a battle was going badly, and the general saw that the division to his right was not running. They were fighting, and he shouted to his men, he said, "There is General Jackson standing like a stone wall." And that's how he got his name, his nickname, standing like a stone wall. It's permanency, but it's also service. 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 8, and this ought to be our attitude. The Queen of Sheba, famous for her wisdom, famous for her wealth, came and saw all that Solomon had, and she was overcome. She said, "How blessed are your men, how blessed are these your servants who stand before you continually and hear your wisdom." What a blessing to stand before King Solomon, not think about being King Solomon, not thinking about being sitting beside him on the throne, but how blessed are your servants that get to be a part of this by standing here. Whoa, what would it be like to stand in front of King Solomon? In Luke chapter 1, when the good news, God was working out His plan. And He tells Zacharias, the angel, the prophecy of John the Baptist. In verse 18, Zacharias said to the angel, "How will I know this for certain? For I'm an old man and my wife is advanced in years." You're forgetting, Zacharias, that this is an angel of God before you. The angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel who stands in the presence of God." I stand in God's presence. And because you doubted, you're not going to use your voice again for a while. I stand in the presence of God. And in Revelation, the seven angels, chapter 8, verse 2, who stand in the presence of God. So it speaks of permanency. Standing, to stand, speaks of judgment. "If thou, O Lord, shouldst mark iniquity, O Lord, who could stand?" The very first psalm. and throughout the Bible. The wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly. They have no standing. They will not stand. If you don't pay your fine in Reno County, I know for a fact you're going to stand in front of the judge. They'll come and get you, and you will stand there. He's sitting. He's judging. You're standing. Let's just show you who's who here and what the arrangement is and who's got the power and who's in control. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord and who may stand in His holy place? Psalm 24:3. Who can stand? And all the places in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, when an angel appears before the Lord, and what do the people generally do? They fall on their faces because literally they cannot stand it. They can't stand there. In Malachi chapter 3, very interesting prophecy of the Lord Jesus' first coming. Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to His temple. And the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, He is coming, says the Lord of the hosts. But who can endure the day of His coming? And who can stand when He appears? For He is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He's coming, and He did. And when He threw out the money changers, nobody stood up to Him. That was the Lord Jesus in His first coming. I can guarantee you no one is going to stand in His second coming. There's going to be people on their faces. Standing speaks of permanency. It speaks of service or humility. It speaks of judgment. And praise God, it speaks of intercession. I get to do this occasionally, to stand before someone, to intercede for someone else. So I can put things in their language so they can understand it. I'm not really interceding. I'm just translating. Number 16, 47. If you had turned there, it's a beautiful passage. Aaron took it as Moses had spoken. The plague was among the children of Israel. He ran into the midst of the assembly, for behold, the plague had begun among the people. So he put on the incense and made atonement for the people. He took his stand between the dead and the living so that the plague was checked. Aaron. In Ezekiel 22:30, the Lord says, I searched for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand in the gap before me so that I would not destroy it, but I found no one. A righteous God found no one who could stand. And so the Lord Jesus came and He stood. He took a stand and He stood between us and the wrath. So to stand means permanency. It means service. It means humility. It means judgment. Who can stand? And it means intercession. Because we cannot stand firm before a holy God. We cannot stand firm before God for salvation. We can't stand before Him. We have no basis on which to do that. It's only through the blood of Christ and believing in Him that we can be saved, that we can know God, that we can have a standing, a firm standing before God. We can only stand by standing on Christ, the solid rock. We know that, or I hope you know that. It is true for our Christian life as well. You cannot stand for the Lord if you're not on your own. You cannot stand for the Lord on your own. It has to be through Him. You have to do it in His way. We sang, He is able to make you stand in the presence of blameless with great joy. He is able to do that. And I think it's one of those things that it's true once for all, but it is also true every day that we need to stand. It's a commandment to stand firm. I found it 8 places at least in the New Testament. Stand firm. I'm telling you, sister, I'm telling you, brother, stand firm. We need you there. Now, it does not mean to be rude. I've noticed it used for being rude. Well, I just had to take a stand. Well, maybe you need to stand up for a principle, but you didn't need to be rude about it. We're not talking about being arrogant. We're not talking about being obnoxious. We're not talking about picking a fight here. We're talking about humbly but permanently making our position known as a servant, the other meanings of the word stand. Paul says, 1 Corinthians 16:13, be on the alert. So that's what it implies. You can't stand on your feet very well if you're asleep. Be on the alert. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. So it's a command. It's not if you feel like it. It's a command. Stand firm in the faith. In Ephesians, this is what I have next. 1 Thessalonians 3. This is how important it was to Paul. He said, for now we really live if you stand firm in the Lord. We really live if you stand firm. Standing is something that no one can do for you. You have to do it. Stand and stand firm. At the conclusion of 2 Thessalonians, so then, brethren, chapter 2, verse 15, stand firm and hold to the traditions which you were taught, whether by word of mouth or by letter from us. 1 Peter 5:12, Peter says, I have written to you briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God. Stand firm in it. Not on our own understanding. Don't lean on our own understanding, but to stand in the grace of God. A firm, conscious decision. Stand. Stand firm. Let the consequences happen. Let God take care of all that other stuff. You stand firm. As our country changes, as the laws change, as iniquity is praised, as it becomes more and more evident, we need you to stand. We're not always going to get to meet like this, I don't think. Stand firm. It doesn't mean a stiff neck, again. It doesn't mean hard-hearted. It doesn't mean obnoxious. Spurgeon one time was given a compliment by a woman about how wonderful it was to have a preacher that took his stand on the Word of God, and he said, Madam, I stand under it. Know what you believe. Stand firm. Know why you believe it. Stand firm. Connect it to your daily life. Stand firm. It's not the only thing we do is stand. But you have to start with standing. Sometimes we stand together. Sometimes we stand alone, but we need to stand. I was going to play the clip of The Lord of the Rings, the part where Aragorn and his army are hopelessly surrounded in front of the gates of Mordor, and here come all the goblins and bad things, and they're just hopelessly surrounded. Quite a moment. And of course, Lord of the Rings was written as an allegory of Christ. And he said, men of the West, I bid you stand. Don't give in, don't give way, don't run. Stand there and take it. Whatever comes, let the Lord be the judge of that. Let the Lord sort all that stuff out. Stand, and I would say, stand firm. Let's look at 1 Kings, oddly enough. An example and some things that I wouldn't have thought of but was led to by godly men who lived before me. 1 Kings chapter 17. How do you stand firm? And this brother's suggestion, who has been with the Lord for many years now, was that it has to do with standing He didn't put it exactly this way, but our standing in the world, how we stand and how firm we stand, depends on do we stand before the Lord. That's what Elijah and Elisha both said. In 1 Kings 17, Elijah the Tishbite, one of the settlers of Gilead, said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, surely there shall be neither dew nor rain these years except by my word." Can you imagine a lonely prophet, a man not accepted, not of any reputation, to stand before the king and says, "It's really the Lord before whom I stand, king. It's not you. I'm standing before God." Well, what does that mean? That he heard the word of God because he was standing there. How blessed are your men, Solomon, who get to stand before you and hear your word. And that's what Elijah did. And so he could say, "I'm not really standing before you, Ahab. I'm standing before the Lord. Do what you will." In 1 Kings chapter 18, Elijah uses it again. It's used numerous times, but we'll look at two with both Elijah and Elisha. This was after the years of famine when he had hidden. And now it was time, and it appeared that the Lord was telling Elijah through another prophet that he needed to make himself known. And Elijah said, 18:15, "As the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand, I will show myself to him today." It's meant service. It meant Elijah was living a life of service. Elijah was listening to the Lord. He was standing before the Lord. I don't know how else to say it. Because he could stand before the Lord, and because he did stand before the Lord, he could stand before men. Maybe some of us could do that as part of our quiet time this week. Is instead of sitting, maybe we should stand. Maybe we should stand before the Lord, read our Bible, pray. In 2 Kings chapter 3, Elisha. How did these men get this confidence? How could they do these things? Now it's three kings, one of whom is legitimate, Jehoshaphat. In verse 14, Elisha, the prophet, says, "As the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand." And he goes on, "But I'm really standing before you, Lord," again. It's the same thing. If I'm right with the Lord, if I'm in the right position in relationship with the Lord, then the right relationship with men will work itself out. And again, one last time, in chapter 5 of 2 Kings, verse 16, Naaman tries to bribe Elisha, and he tries to give him money for a miracle. And Elisha said, 2 Kings 5:16, he said, "As the Lord lives, before whom I stand, I will take nothing." And he urged him to take it, but he refused. These things sorted themselves out because Elijah and Elisha were in the right relationship with the Lord. Because they were in a right standing with the Lord. Salvation, but also their daily relationship with the Lord. They knew who they were. They knew who they were serving. And they were standing there. Therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy and crown, in this way stand firm. By rejoicing, by serving, by living for the Lord. And then used, what, three times in Ephesians chapter 6. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. If you don't have the armor on, you're not going to stand firm. And then it says, having done everything, to stand firm. But the question is, the point is to do everything. It takes preparation to stand. Standing, again, doesn't just happen. There's preparation for standing. What a day of rejoicing when the baby first stands. Because he's been working at it. Because he's been working on his muscles. Because what a day of rejoicing. And then it says, so that you'll be able to stand firm. And now that you've done everything to stand firm, therefore. So it ends the exhortation with an exhortation. Stand firm. And that's my word to you. stand firm. Society is changing all around us. The Word of God stands firm, and we need to stand firm in it. What are we basing our decisions on? Stand firm. It was interesting, and this happened. This really happened. Actually, all this message really happened. And what happened, that was the day of the next to the last ice storm. It wasn't the last ice storm, it was the next to the last ice storm. Where school was out and so forth, and it was slick. It was treacherous. And it had iced, and then it was warm, and then I think it froze over again, and it was like a sheet of ice, basically, because it was. Cars had been going up and down the streets, but it was just nuts. And Carolyn said, "Dwayne, get out the ice cleats that Orville gave you." And I said, "Oh, why don't I get out the ice cleats that Orville gave me?" So I got them out. I'd never worn them before. He had given them to me years ago. And they're the coolest things. You put them on, and it was like I couldn't fall down. I tried. I didn't try too hard because I didn't want to break my knee or something. But with these things on, I could walk around. I could do pretty much anything I wanted, and I could stand. And I thought, well, Holy Spirit, thank you for making that one really obvious for me. The same day I got the exhortation from my brother in the Lord was the icy day where I needed some help to stand. Still up to me. I still had to stand. But what a great day. Man. I was able to walk. I was able to stand. I was able to do what I wanted, to go where I wanted. Confidently. In an environment that was not secure, that was not safe. And I thought, what a great reminder. Holy Spirit, thank you. So many opportunities for us to live for the Lord. But you have to stand firm. You won't get the opportunities. You won't be able to use them if you don't stand firm. In 1 Corinthians 7:16, it says, "How do you know?" This is talking about believers married to unbelievers. And it says, "How do you know, O wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, O husband, whether you will save your wife?" And we don't. We don't know what the future is going to bring. But if we're not standing firm, then we won't be able to do it. So stand firm, therefore. Let the Lord sort it out. Father, we thank you this morning for your word, standing firm in the heavens upon which we can take our stand. Give us a love for your word, a deeper love, and a deeper love for you. The world needs us, Lord, to stand firm. There are people out there who need us to stand firm, and we need each other to stand firm and to be an encouragement and to all these things, Lord. We thank you for the Lord Jesus who stood in our place, condemned. Bless these words and bless these lives. In Jesus' name, amen.